This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning to you, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's January 20th, episode 831. Happy MLK Day, everybody. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of the year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me. But I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for listening on this Monday morning. It is Martin Luther King Day today, so I think we're going to have a few extra listeners who have the day off. Welcome. We appreciate you being here. We're going to change things up a little bit today because, you know, it's an important time in the United States right now. So today's show is going to be devoted entirely to Jamie and I's thoughts on the NFL playoff games last night. Okay, show's over. That's it. That's all we got. So that's it.
No, 49ers. Hey, what?
I got to turn my phone off. Hold on.
Yeah, if that's the case, then we're in trouble because let's see. Here's what I did yesterday that was really stupid, Glenn. I have the USA Today app on my phone.
How long
and
have
my
you
husband,
been doing this?
Bless his heart.
Sorry about that.
What?
I said, how long we've been doing this? I forgot to turn my phone off. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. I was just saying my husband, bless his heart, is working on his master's. Like, he's not smart enough. He has to go get a master's. So he's working on it at home. So he was recording all of the football games yesterday. And I have a USA Today. I didn't know he was recording the football games. I didn't think he cared. So I get this USA Today app, and I'm like, he sends me little updates. I'm like, Peyton Manning's going to the Super Bowl. And he's like, no! I'm recording that game, you horrible woman. Sorry, honey. I blew that one for you.
Yeah, I actually watched, we both, Jennifer actually voluntarily watched some football last night. The only time we ever watch football is playoff and Super Bowl. And that's it. That's the only time we ever watch football.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched them.
Players dropping like flies. It was awesome.
Yeah, last night's game. Jeez. Players injured everywhere. We actually spent more time thinking about you this weekend because we were watching the Barrett Jackson collector car auction that's right down the road from you. So we spent a lot of time thinking about you this weekend as we were watching the $1 million cars get sold at the auction.
Yeah, I was out there shopping all weekend.
We saw you sitting in the front row right there. We saw you. With your checkbook.
$2.1 million. Oh, yeah.
I don't think you can even get in that place unless they do a credit check on you. I think you get a credit check, it's through the front door.
It's really expensive, actually, to get in. Like you said, they price the tickets up high to keep the riffraff like me out of there.
That's for sure. They did sell a Ferris wheel. Ferris wheel? No. They sold a... Jennifer, help me out here.
Carousel.
They sold a carousel that was from 1898, and it had
really.
Yeah. Well, they tried to. It was a beautiful carousel. It had been restored, and you know, had all the horses and the different animals, and you know, it was your typical carousel. It ran. The music played. Everything worked on it. It was beautiful, and it got up to $500,000, but it was a no sale. They had a reserve on it that was higher than that. I think they had projected that it would sell for like $1 million, but I'm not quite sure that the collector car audience is the audience you want to sell a carousel.
Yeah. I don't think, you wouldn't think that antiquers would be out there, but I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, they are the audience with money, as judged by some of the prices of the cars, but not necessarily carousels. All right, what's coming up on today's show, Jennifer?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, it's award season. And our intrepid hosts will let us know who gets cheers and who gets jeers following Saturday's Eclipse Awards presentation. And in lieu of an after party, Diane Sett is here to sort out the hoofbeats of gated dressage. And in the third half of the show, Horse Nation's Wacky World of Horses, brought to you by High Visibility North America, puts our laugh muscles through their paces. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, appreciate that.
Just a little bit of gut-wrenching. I read this story, and it was like I got punched in the stomach. I just... Real quick, I had to let you know, Alison Springer bought Lionheart, the horse that William Fox Pitt rode in the Olympics, one of the top horses in the entire planet, okay? One of the top eventing horses in the world, named Lionheart, owned by William Fox Pitt. Well, Alison Springer and her syndicate bought him, brought him over, and he... had some colic surgery. I mean, we talked about it on Friday that he had to have some colic surgery. Well, they lost him over the weekend. They did a second colic surgery. And sadly, they said that there was a vascular accident that comprised the small intestine and then went on to overwhelm the cecum and large bowel. They said it's unusual. It's like a stroke in the bowel, I guess, and there was nothing that they could do, and Lionheart was put down over the weekend. Just as heart-wrenching a story as you can even imagine. So Alison Springer and Lionheart and William Fox Pitt, the whole organization, we give you our condolences. Gosh, just heartbreaking.
I really don't think she had had that horse more than a couple of weeks, because we just did the story on her getting the horse.
No, she just got him.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
She just got him. Oh, I the whole thing is just heartbreaking.
Yeah, she, it's hard to, know what to say other than our best. Allison's such a she's been on this show before a couple times, and, you know, she's very nice. She's been, anytime we've asked her to come on the show, she will go beyond to come on our shows and to do things for other people. She is known for that in the eventing world. And it could, you know, just terrible what happened here.
Yeah, terrible.
And it's bad, you know, it's bad for the United States, too. David O'Connor, you know, said he's devastated. And I know that they had high hopes as this being a horse to help the United States do better in the WAG and, you know, upcoming major competitions over the next couple of years. All right. Well, let's get on with the show to some happier news, hopefully. Well, My Daily Winnie goes out to a certain puppy this time, a dog by the name of Officer Kota, and obviously your son is very excited about it. He's a police dog with
happy right now. Sorry.
Yes, because of Kota. Kota's a police dog with the Winchester City, Virginia Police Department, and he went out with his officers to serve a search warrant. Well, the guy hid in the attic crawl space to not get arrested, and they sent Kota up there to drag him out of there. Well, Kota went up, as the good police dog he is, and ended up getting a hold of the guy, but fell through the ceiling 15 feet to the hardwood floor below. The dog did, fell through.
Wow.
As the officers were still trying to arrest the guy up in the attic, the Kota heard them yelling, and with a broken leg, he crawled back up the stairs to try and help. And the article said that officers were almost in tears seeing the dog limp and drag his leg trying to get back into the fight. He had surgery because of his injuries, and he probably will be okay. They don't know if they think he's going to live just fine, but he probably may not go back to being an officer again. But what an amazing story, and what dedication on Kota's part to do what he did. So that's a That's a good story. Going to have a happy ending. If not, House Coda's going to live happily on a couch somewhere. So,
nice.
Good doggy.
Well, my daily Winnie goes out to one Philip Dutton and his newest event horse. This is such a cool story, you guys. There was a horse named Ichabod Crane who ran in the Preakness Stakes. He started 33 times. He ran in the Preakness several years ago. He's a 9-year-old gelding and won $585,000. Well, Graham Motion, the Kentucky Derby winning trainer, Graham Motion and his wife have now sent the 2008 Preakness runner, Ichabod Crane, to go and be an eventer. He is now officially in training with Philip Dutton. This is such a cool story because they said it was not a horse that just wanted to go out in the paddock. So they approached Philip about a new career. Philip says that horse is naturally very balanced, has a great attitude, likes to be ridden, and likes to learn. He's traveling to Aiken this week to spend the rest of the winter at Red Oak Farm. And the plan is to get the horse out to a few local shows before entering him in his first event later this summer. Such a cool thing because, but you know what? They're like, we're going to retire you, and we're going to retire you well. Oh, wait, you don't want to be retired? We're going to put you in training with the greatest eventer in our country. How about that? I mean, let's go straight to the top. And what I also like about this story is, you know, this is not a 3-year-old. This is a 9-year-old. A 9-year-old that is going to have a whole new career. And it's cool to watch Philip get through this because I'm kind of dealing with the same thing with Edward because he's 9 years old as well, and he raced until he was 8. So Philip says that I want to get him to understand that he's not going to get in the starting gate anymore. He has to remember the stuff. This is a quote. He's got to remember the stuff I teach him at home when we go places with a lot of other horses with loudspeakers and things.
So sound familiar?
Basically, he's having the same problems I am. Like, you put the horse in a trailer and you unload him and he's like, oh, like tweaking out. So it's kind of cool to see. I bet Philip can fix him a little faster than I could, but
we have some help too.
I'm going to enjoy watching this happen because it is kind of cool to have the same kind of story that I feel like I'm playing along at home, you know?
It just got me to thinking, do you think steeplechase horses would make better eventers than flat horses? Because at least they know they have to jump something along the way.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's the jumps that matter, really, you know, because you start so small that I think it's the environment. And what's really difficult, like a horse like Edward's actually was shipped to the track every day to go around the track and then brought to the little farm that the people, the trainer owned. So every time he got in the trailer, he went to the track every day.
Mm-hmm.
So he loads great, but unloads like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So it's kind of cool to watch Philip Dutton have to go through something. And when they do that for, you know, years and years, it's a harder deal, you know, than a 3-year-old who did it for, you know, 2 months and failed. So it'll be interesting to watch. I think it's really cool. And you can definitely see the maturity in the horse. You can find a picture of him. You know what? I'll post it on our Facebook page because I just love this story. And by the way, you know what? We don't want to retire our horse. I'm Graham Motion. I'll just send him to Philip Dutton. Like, who's the best? Philip Dutton? Okay. I'll send him to him.
Yeah, like Philip was going to say no, right? No, I don't want him.
I know. He's gotten a lot of press from it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we call loading on 4, unloading on 2. Is that pretty much how it goes with you?
Yeah.
You load on 4, unload on 2? All right, well, let's get into the Eclipse Awards. And, you know, we talked about sad news earlier. I think, for me, this is sad news, the Eclipse Awards. But before we get into that, let's talk about what happened at the same track where they did the Eclipse Award, at Gulfstream down here in Florida, where they did Eclipse Awards earlier in the day on Saturday. Our adopted horse, Mucho Macho Man, ran a race. And let's hear what happened. It's called the Sunshine Millions. This is before the clips.
They're off in the Sunshine Millions Classic, and Mucho Macho Man goes right to the front. He broke on the money, and he's going to the lead with Bernie the Maestro after him from the outside to put some pressure on Mucho Macho Man. As they go into the turn, Gary Stevens is going to let Bernie the Maestro go and sit second now, two lengths behind. Then rule number six, followed by Joshua's Comprise, Decaf Again, and Gourmet Dinner is at the back of the field, eight lengths off of front-running Bernie the Maestro and Joel Rosario, who will take him to the back stretch in 23 seconds flat. Mucho Macho Man guided to the outside, content to sit second, and right behind him is rule number six, third. It's now eight lengths to Gourmet Dinner, and they've left Joshua's Comprise and Decaf Again behind. Up the backstretch, Bernie the Maestro trying to steal it on the lead here. He's out there 2.5 lengths in front of Mucho Macho Man, the Breeders' Cup Classic winner, who's still content to sit second at this stage. They went a half mile in 46 1/5 seconds. It's a very good pace here. Rule number six is 5 lengths off the lead. Now comes under a ride. Gourmet Dinner, Joshua's Comprise, and Decaf Again around the far turn. And here comes Mucho Macho Man, and he breezes right on by Bernie the Maestro. Mucho Macho Man by 3. Bernie the Maestro second, and it's a long way back to the others as Mucho Macho Man has run 3/4 in 1:10-2, and he's into the stretch. Mucho Macho Man, Gary Stevens hand riding him at the eighth pole, 10 lengths in front of the field. Bernie the Maestro about to be joined by Joshua's Comprise, who takes second behind the comeback performance by Mucho Macho Man in the Sunshine Million.
Did you? Yes, that is worth clapping for. I don't think that the announcer did it justice. God. He won this thing by about 20 lengths. I mean, he was way out there. He wasn't.
You know, I actually was, when I watched it, he comes around the corner. He won it by 14 lengths in the end, okay? It's like they came around going into the far turn. Mucho Macho Man just started cantering. And as they're coming out of the far turn, Mucho Macho Man is literally just trantering down the home stretch, and it seriously looks like every other horse stops and starts running backwards.
It did.
That's how much faster he was, and not even trying. Like, he did. Gary Stevens went on to say, "Yeah, sure, he put in an effort, but it wasn't really a big effort at all." It kind of made me go, "You know, I feel sorry for them." Like, I feel sorry for the other horses having to run with him in that race. And then you realize it's a $400,000 race. These are not crappy horses he's running against. It's not like it's a $2,500 claiming race here.
Right.
This is like, I think it's a grade one or grade two. I mean, huge stakes race. And he just, it was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, it was.
Like,
I don't think
other people were like, we're running for second.
I don't think Gary Stevens even used his whip at all. I didn't see him use his whip at all. He didn't have to. When he was running with the rest of the horses, he was running a second most of the way. It looked like he was out for a Saturday stroll. He wasn't really putting a whole lot of effort into it at all just to keep up with the number one horse. But you're right. When he was coming down the home stretch, it was like, oh, this is fun.
That's why Larry Colmus, the race caller, didn't make it exciting, because it's like,
Yeah.
It's not like, oh my God, there he goes. It was like, Mucho Macho Man is like way in front and is cantering down the home stretch. No big deal. You know, this is I'm trying to figure out if it was a grade one or grade two, which just in the world kind of takes it from 3-star to 4-star, you know, if you're comparing it to eventing. But it's a $400,000 race. He won it by 14 lengths. Here's Finn Green, their racing manager, who they talk about all the time, said, "We hoped he would run the way he did today. We didn't know he'd open up like that. It was the race to start back with. It was the perfect race to come back from the Breeders' Cup Classic, not because of the timing, but for the next races." And they went on to say that the two options, he said, is one is, of course, a little more conventional. He said, Santa Anita for the big cap, which, of course, Stevens get one. Hello. And they said they have 7 weeks to Santa Anita or 10 weeks to Dubai. 10 weeks into Dubai. Oh, wow. So they're going to race in 5 weeks if they're going to go to Dubai. We're talking Mucho Macho Man in Dubai or the big cap. That's crazy. It's awesome.
I hope he goes to Dubai. Wouldn't it be cool if he went to Dubai and won? That's a $10 million race. Wouldn't it be cool if he went there and won that one? That'd be so cool.
Yes, but if he goes to the to Santa Anita, I'm going to have to go. I got to go see this horse run. I've got to go.
Yeah, I think
close enough to where I can drive.
You only have this year, and he's probably only going to run in California once or twice, right? So you got this year. This is your only chance. But what now you would think, I thought, that after he won that race on Saturday, that there would be more good news coming on Saturday night at the Eclipse Awards. Well, let's find out what happened at the Eclipse Awards. You want to start backwards?
Yes, let's start backwards.
Okay.
Well, we you and I made some picks, and
Jennifer did too.
Jennifer did too. But some of them we didn't make picks in, but it was worth mentioning that the owner and breeder Eclipse Award went to Ken and Sarah Ramsey. They own the horse Kitten Joy, the stallion. And this is the third time that they've won the Eclipse Award for a breeder. So lots of repeat winners this year. Not, I don't think any of big surprises. Trainer went to Todd Pletcher. Now, what's cool about that is Todd Pletcher has now set a record. This is his sixth Eclipse as outstanding trainer, and he broke the tie that he had with Bobby Frankel. Of course, Frankel being one of the late and great trainers. So Todd Pletcher. Now we got to jockey, and you picked Gary Stevens, as did Jennifer and I. He was up against Gary was the finalists were Gary Stevens, Joel Rosario, Mike Smith, John Velasquez, Corey Nakatani. Those are all the people that got votes. But Javier Castellano won the entire thing with 134 votes. So Javier Castellano, so we were all wrong.
I think we were. I think that these writers are heartless and have no emotion at all. That's what I think. They're heartless bastards. That's my opinion. Heartless bastards. And I'm going to say that a couple more times today.
They're awful. Well, you know, and the problem is that they don't have the emotional connection to Mucho Macho Man that we do.
<That's>
because
right.
Clearly, however, you look at the male turf horse. Male turf horses were a Wise Dan, Magician, obviously, and Point of Entry were the ones that got votes. Point of Entry, Jen's pick, got out of all of them one vote. Obviously, the horse, turf horse, got one vote. Magician got four votes, and Wise Dan got 243 votes. I mean, just like, who's going to argue with that? Clearly, it was a landslide. Jennifer, do you have a comment? What was your reason to pick Point of Entry?
Just because I want to try something different. Obviously, the Turf Writers Association didn't.
You had one guy that agreed with you.
I think that was Point of Entry's owner.
Yeah.
Four-year-old and up female, the horses that got votes were Royal Delta Dank, who's a Great Britain turf horse, Joyful Victory, Tiz Ms. Sue, Dance to Bristol, Laughing, Branding Secret. Laughing, Brandy Secret, Dance to Bristol all got one vote. Tiz Ms. Sue got two. Joyful Victory, three. Dank, five. And Royal Delta, 234. So it was a runaway. Now, this is actually her third Eclipse Award. She was named three-year-old filly in 2011. She has been now officially, check this out, retired. And guess who she's going to get bred to this year? Guess.
I don't know.
So
Frankel.
Oh,
really?
Frankel.
Wow.
Yes. Isn't that awesome? That just makes me happy. 4-year-old.
Oh, by the way, just to keep score at home, that means Jamie and I are tied at this point at 3 apiece. Go ahead.
We are tied at 3 apiece right now. You're right. 4-year-old and up male. So we had in contention Wise Dan, Mucho Macho Man, Game On Dude, and Flat Out. Flat Out got two votes from the writers. Game On Dude, 31. Mucho Macho Man, 93. Now, let me point out that Game On Dude was Jen's pick. Mucho Macho Man was my pick. And Glenn, Wise Dan was...
Woohoo!
Oh, so pretty really not separated by a whole lot in the voting with 123 and 93.
Let me point out, too, that I picked Wise Dan for this category because I thought they were going to give, because I wanted Mucho Macho Man to win Horse of the Year, which is why I picked Wise Dan for this category. So
yes, Glenn, it's okay. They're not going to get mad at you. You're allowed to pick other horses.
That's fine. Just clarifying. Which puts me in the lead at 4-3, by the way. Just saying.
Yes. Okay. You are in the lead right now. Enjoy that.
Okay, I am.
So let me point out that Wise Dan did go 6-1. And he ran off the turf 2 times. One, because it was so much rain. The time he came in second, the only time he came in second place this year was because the turf race was so rainy and so sloppy that they took it off the turf and put it on the dirt. And he's not a dirt horse. So he went and ran second place in, they called it, like he was running through the Everglades National Forest. Like it was like stupid.
Yeah.
So he came in second place. It's the only time he came in second. His career has been stellar. He's won over $2.7 million. I mean, you can't argue with Wise Dan on first.
Who cares?
I know. Let me just, but we're moving up here. Okay. 3-year-old filly. We had choices between Beholder and Princess of Silmar. Those were the only two that got votes. We all picked Princess of Silmar, and we were all wrong. Beholder won for the second straight year with 207 of the votes.
Heartless bastards.
Would not have thought Heart. Yes, but she was the one who won the Breeders' Cup this year. So she's earned over $1.8 million. She holds her own, but we did love Princess of Silmar. She came in second to Beholder. 3-year-old male. So we were all wrong on that one. 3-year-old male. Jen took Orb. Glenn took Palace Malice. I took Will Take Charge. And there were 2 other horses that garnered votes, Golden Sense and Verrazano. I just love it because I really feel like Verrazano, Golden Sense, Palace Malice, all their owners are in the Writers Guild. They all voted for him one time. Orb garnered 15 of the votes. And Glenn's horse, Palace Malice, got 1 vote. And I was the winner of this one with Will Take Charge, who got 231 of the votes. So champion 3-year-old male went to Will Take Charge, a horse trained by Dwayne Lucas.
Okay, that puts us even at 4, by the way. Even at 4. With yeah. Jennifer trailing.
And now we move on to the category that should count more because it is the biggest category. It should count for like 5 points. But it doesn't matter because if it counts 1 point, then I still win. Because in the voting for Horse of the Year, we had Royal Delta got 1 vote. Princess of Silmar, same person voted for her last time, voted for her again. Dank got 1. Will Take Charge got 15 votes. Now, you and Jennifer both went with the favorite of our show, and that's Mucho Macho Man. And you were not alone because a whopping 21 people voted for him. Sadly, 208 people went with my pick, which was Wise Dan. So Horse of the Year went to Wise Dan. And
boo.
So, Stimpy! Won again. I need champion music. How about I get this? How about to me and Wise Dan?
I do have to say, I was really upset to see Mucho Macho Man did not win any of the three. That was kind of upset.
I know. He's that older horse. But, you know, it's they look at each category individually, and Mucho Macho Man had 2 huge races last year. 2 huge races, but only 2.
Yeah, but you know, they were huge races. Wise Dan can't even run on the turf. He's useless. He runs on the grass because he's dainty and can't handle the turf.
Wow, you got to watch your mouth because he did win the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Thank you very much this year. Suck it. You were wrong. He can run on anything.
I was very disappointed. I really thought that they would show some love to Mucho Macho Man, but that just shows to prove that they're heartless bastards.
They are, but you know what? 4-year-old nut male was close. It was close. So we got to give it to he was very close in winning that. Now, he did have a great day. So I'm sure that Patty and Dean were not too upset.
That was the other thing I was going to say is, you know, they walked away with a couple hundred grand that day and didn't get a $5 trophy. So not too bad a day.
No, but just to point out, Wise Dan became the sixth horse since 1971 to win back-to-back Horse of the Year honors. Now, he's the first horse ever to clean sweep three categories 2 years in a row because he won all three of these last year.
Hey, I did something for you because I'm being nice. I didn't want to, but I'm being nice. I actually have the announcement from the ceremonies because it had something very special in it.
Good.
Do you want to hear it? Because there's somebody very special that we've had on a guest on this show recently, so take a listen.
Did they thank me?
Yes.
Muscle Benjamin! We'll take charge with the late surge! We'll take charge in surging! Wise Dan has called on all his class, and Wise Dan has won it!
So, on this 40th anniversary of Secretariat's Triple Crown campaign, we have invited a special guest to announce the Eclipse Award for the 2013 Horse of the Year. Joining us now from her home in Colorado, the Secretariat's owner and a thoroughbred racing legend in her own right, ladies and gentlemen, Penny Chenery.
Congratulations to tonight's winners. I wish I could be with you all to share the excitement as I tell you that the Horse of the Year is... Wise Dan.
The connecting the gold trophy for Horse of the Year is the owner and breeder of Wise Dan, Morton Fink. Wise Dan becomes the first horse to win three Eclipse Awards in back-to-back seasons, once again collecting the older male turf, and Horse of the Year honors. He is also the first horse to win consecutive Horse of the Year awards since Curlin in 2007 and 8, and joins a distinguished list of racing giants in Secretariat, Forgo, Affirmed, and Cigar as the only other thoroughbreds to win consecutive Horse of the Year titles. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it one more time for Horse of the Year, Wise Dan.
I think, I mean, come on, you've got to get goosebumps. The horses that he's in the same category with, it's ridiculous. I mean, amazing. Now, I did have a really cool little story that I read about Wise Dan's owner, Morton Fink. So Morton Fink was a big time breeder and he thought, you know what, I'm going to scale back. I've got too many broodmares. And so he did one of those dispersal sales. But the one horse he kept, her name, this mare, was Lisa Danielle. Why did he keep Lisa Danielle? Because that was named after his daughter. So he thought, I'm going to keep the one named Lisa Danielle. And then he bred her to Wiseman's Ferry, and then they have Wise Dan. So this is a neat little story of how he ended up with him, even though he was kind of starting to get out of the business, and then you get a chestnut gelding named Wise Dan. So too bad he's not a stallion.
He's got to be, too. I watched him make his way up to do his speech. He's got to be 80-some years old. It took him about 10 minutes to get up there. He had to come up three times, and they had him sitting in the back. They really should have just put a seat on the stage for him. What about, poor guy. I felt bad for him the third time. Well, congratulations to Wise Dan, and boo-hoo to all of the writers who voted for the absolute wrong horse for Horse of the Year. Just saying. But that means that you won our little competition by 1 point. 1 point.
I did. Yes. I did. I'm proud of myself. I don't care. A winning second place is just somebody who lost first. Okay. So there you go.
And on that note, because you're such a winner, we're going to let you do the Omega Alpha Equine commercial.
Yes. Well, it's because I spend so much time with Omega Alpha Equine. You guys, if you want to get something for your horse, say you're having a problem with your horse, be it a digestive one, a breeding one, a reproductive anything, or breathing, or any end of the horse, from nose to back hoof, you can find something to fix whatever problem you have at Omega Alpha Equine. And it's all natural and it's herbal and it works. Go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com and check out their website. And if you have any questions, you can email them and they will be happy to jump in and give you any answer that they have. You know, like I've had problems with, like we were talking about Edward getting a little too excited. Well, they make equine chill. Then you've got a horse like Jet who has digestive gut issues. And then they've got biotic aid and a whole slew of things. You know, it's dusty out here. So you give them a little bit of Herbicough or something just to help their airwaves, equine airwaves. It all works. So go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com and check it out. And again, you know, sadly, because of the rules in Canada, they can't tell you on the website. They're not allowed to print like what this is for and what this does. Just contact them and say, hey, my horse is coughs 6 times when I start riding him, and I hate that, and I want to fix it, and they will be able to help you. So just check him out there. Dr. Chang is a friend of ours, and you guys have heard him on the show. He's wicked smart, so check it out, OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, thank you, Jamie. Next up, we have our first guest of the day. We have Diane Sept with us to talk about an up-and-coming sport in the horse world, and that is gated dressage. Well, Jennifer posted a question on Western dressage the other day on our Facebook page, and we have a lot of our listeners who are now looking at getting into Western dressage. So we're going to talk to Diane about how it differs from English and Western dressage. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I was saying to Jennifer, this is interesting going from running down the racetrack to dressage.
Yes, yes, but we do it a lot here on the show, go from one extreme to the other. So. We have listeners in all sections of the horse world. So now, she did post this question on Western Dressage the other day, and I was surprised at the amount of our listeners who want to try it or plan on trying it or going to events or, you know, just looking into it. And I know on some of our other shows here on the network, we've talked about Western Dressage, and it's becoming very popular. Now, tell us, is gated dressage something that's an offshoot of Western Dressage or the same shows? How's it work?
I would have to say it is not an offshoot of the Western dressage at all.
Okay.
But you're right. The Western dressage is certainly taking off in popularity, as is, if you will, what we are calling and what we hear called the gated dressage. There have actually been gated dressage tests and dressage competitions for smooth, and I would like to say that, smooth gated breeds now since back in the 1980s. They were originated in Canada, which is where we were the first judged smooth gated dressage tests were performed and judged by licensed dressage judges. So no, the smooth gated dressage has been in existence for many, many years.
Now, I want to say this up front. I saw this in your bio that I saw Foch being a Foch member listed in there, and I want to clarify that at the beginning here. That's the Friends of Sound Horses, and our regular listeners will know that we are not in favor of the big lick horses, and we have actively fought against them, actually. So, I was really glad to see that. One of the first horses I ever rode was a gated horse. So what kind of horses are we using here for gated dressage? What breeds?
Every breed of smooth gated horses, any breed that has what we term an intermediate gait as a group, because all of the smooth gated breeds have a different term that recognizes their intermediate gait.
Right.
So we are Foch, and the IJA program, Independent Judges Program, have developed tests that include and are available to any of the smooth-gated breeds, no matter what their intermediate gait is.
So what's the test look like? Is it what gaits are included in the test?
The tests, if you will, if you actually look at a test that would be handed to a judge to use, look exactly like any dressage test that you would pull out of the USDA. And what we have done in our FOSH program is we have acknowledged that the common gaits of any horse are their walk and their canter. So our intro tests strictly have the walk with variations of transitions within the walk. And as we proceed up the levels, then we ask for different, more extension, more collection. But our intro test strictly does the walk. Our training level includes some intermediate gait with the canter. We also have a test for newbies because people are looking at this gated dressage as something new, something fun to try. Certainly with what's going on in our walking horse industry, which is affecting all of the breeds, by the way. People are looking for something else to do. They still like to compete, so they're looking for a different venue from the, if you will, the traditional show ring. So we do also have what we call a two-gate test, which allows people to go into the ring, do their walk, do their intermediate gate, because that draws them in. We are certainly hoping that as they become more excited about following the guidelines and the true purpose of dressage, that they will begin to find the systematic way that is used when training a dressage horse. So we have walks, the intermediate gates, we have the canter, just as a regular dressage test would have walk, trot, canter.
Okay. That makes sense.
So down the road, are you planning on making more difficult tests? Like, are we expecting gated horses to do piaf or canter pirouettes and stuff like that, or is it just very basic and going to stay that way?
Absolutely. We will move up, and we're hoping that we find that they can do the canter pirouette on request as opposed to when they just want to do it. Yeah. No, we absolutely intend to...
Jamie has horses that can do it whenever. That's good.
But, you know, I'm here saying, I'm kind of getting that idea, yeah. But no, we absolutely, certainly any gated horse, any of the smooth-gated breeds can do a canter pirouette. Any of them can lengthen stride, whether, you know, from extreme collection to the epitome of lengthening. So absolutely. At this point, the FOSH rule book only goes to first level because we feel that we want people to realize there is a system in this. We're not just looking for the cram jam. We're truly trying to guide them into the awareness of the way of allowing a horse to be trained for their well-being and their longevity.
Are they riding English or Western saddles? Or both?
Currently, we still would be aiming at the traditional English dressage attire, or I should say the traditional attire. We also allow at this point, though, traditional tack in our tests. The only requirement at this point is that it be ridden in a snaffle bridle.
Okay.
So we could have a Peruvian paso come in traditional attire must have a snaffle. And we're doing that partly because this is to show, it's to encourage people and also to get rid of that idea that dressage is some entity all in of itself. But no, this is beneficial to all breeds.
Well, and that's been seen too, even on the reining side with all of the reiners who are sending a lot of their horses out for dressage training before they go into reining training, That's happening a lot more now too. Jennifer went to over the weekend here in Florida, we had a, and Jennifer, you'll help me out with what the names of it was, but we had a couple of different competitions. And she went to there was Cowboy Mounted Shooting. What were the other ones, Jennifer?
Cowboy Mounted Shooting, Extreme Cowboy Racing, and Obstacle Challenge, all at the same time, along with Jack Russell Terrier races.
Yeah, all at the Florida Horse Park. And let me tell you, they were sold out. They had more entries and had waiting lists on everything. I think what you're saying is true. I think more and more people that have been trail riders or had competed years ago and had just taken up trail riding at this point are looking to get back into something, but they're not looking to get back into something that that is uber intense like eventing. They're looking to get back into something that is more along what they've been doing with their trail riding and that kind of thing. Is that where you see people coming from?
We see it from both sides. Again, we see it from exactly what you were just talking about. People wanting to have something to do with their horses. They don't feel like, going and jumping over those funny fences and down into water hazards and so forth and so on. But again, because of what's happening, again, especially in the Tennessee Walking Horse Ring, people are looking for another avenue, something that takes them away from that disharmony, something that's much more enjoyable. And so I believe it's actually being kind of entered into from both sides of the stick. Competitive type people that want to go into a different avenue that doesn't have
the stigma.
disharmony that's connected with it. And also those that are out there and, just want to do something else with their horse, the trail riders, absolutely.
Well, I got to say, I'm really happy that Fosh, which for those that don't know, it's the Friends of Sound Horses, and it's the organization that, believes in training your horse the proper way, and you're a Tellington Touch, you're Linda Tellington Jones. I am glad to see that they are out there really trying to find alternatives so that there is an alternative to the thing that all of us are fighting against, so that there's something to do with their horses in a much more humane, natural horsemanship type of training than we have seen in the past. And that's what it was always going to take. It was always going to take an alternative, other outlets, other ways of doing it that don't have what the Tennessee Walkers have, that we've seen in the past year.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's really exciting, and it is fun. It's so fun.
Where can people...
It's offering information that hasn't been really common out in our smooth-gated breed world. It's not that it's not there. There's always individuals.
Right.
But yes, it's very exciting.
Well, where can people find out more if they want to get involved, if they have a smooth-gated horse and they want to do some lower-level dressage to get started and see how they like it? Where do they go?
They can go right to the Fosh website, Friends of Sound Horses. That's a great place to get some information.
All right, very good.
That would be probably the best place to initially go.
All right, very good. Well, thank you so much, Diane Sepp, for joining us. We really appreciate it, and I know a lot of our listeners are going to be looking that up because we have a lot of them that are interested in doing something alternative with their horses, and I think this is a wonderful thing. Thank you, Diane.
Beautiful. And of course, anybody's welcome to try to contact me at DianeSept@AOL.com. That's also another invitation.
DianeSept@AOL.com. Thank you. Have a great one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. For all of you that were also looking at Western dressage but have a gated horse, this is the option. It sounds like the only real difference is in the middle gate. It's whatever your middle gate is what you can do in the test. Which was a good way to set it up, because then you don't have to have a million different tests for a million different gates. You just do walk, middle gate, canter. That works out. It's a smart way to do it.
Interesting to know, like, who would be a judge in this. Do they have to have an extensive knowledge of all gated horses, like, to know what that middle gate is supposed to look like? And I'm just curious, how popular is this? Is it just kicking off, or is this something that's kind of established at this point?
Sounded to me like they've been doing it for a long time, but it hasn't had the adoption that they had hoped, and I think now they're starting to see the adoption. I think that you know, it is not an offshoot of the Western dressage, but I think the interest in all of those other activities now in that world are creating interest in this too. I do think people are finding, you know, we can do. Jennifer, you went to that show yesterday. You said it was packed over at the.
They sold out. They had as many entries as they could take, and to be honest, easily 30% of the horses were gated. Here in Ocala, it was a high percentage of Passos because that's locally a very popular breed, but I saw saddlebreds and I saw Tennessee walking horses, lots and lots of gated horses. And the particular show I was at was an obstacle challenge, but hello, part of dressage is teaching your horse to be balanced and respond to your aid, et cetera, et cetera. So anybody who's doing whatever sport, that's just, you know, it's something that's going to help your horse. So it's very interesting. We're going to have Diane back again because I want her to answer your questions, Jamie.
Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Jennifer. Or no, let me end up. You got to tell the story of right when you got there yesterday because Jamie will get a chuckle out of it. We always talk about this on the show because it happens at almost every show one of us is at. So go ahead. Right when you got there.
First thing, I got to the horse park and it's a quarter of a mile drive back to where all the horse trailers are. And I get to where the horse trailers are, and there's a lady out, air quotes, lunging her horse. And the horse is racing around on the end of the lunge line, full tilt, literally dragging her around. She has the rope wrapped around her butt and sitting on it, and she's being dragged around while the horse gallops. Yeah, and as I slow down to a crawl, figuring this horse is going to, like, lose any second, I crawl past in the Jeep, and the lunge line breaks, and she falls on her horse, and the horse takes off like a bullet.
Loose horse!
Loose horse!
Every show we ever go to.
Horse, so, yeah. This one was a traditional three-gated horse. It was either a quarter horse with a lot of race breeding or a thoroughbred by the look of it. Yeah. Wow. So proud. That's awesome.
How many shows? I think every damn show we go to has a loose horse. It just seems that way. Yep. Everyone.
And I'm glad to see that it's a sport that is not just eventing, because what happens in eventing is the people get bucked off or fall off, and then you have a loose horse because the horse is galloping back up to the barn. So at least it happens in other sports.
Can we say, for safety's sake, and just as a disclaimer here, that it's never a good idea to wrap the lunge line around your waist when you're lunging the horse? I'm just bringing that up in case.
I cringed when she said that, actually.
In case somebody thought it was a good idea, thought I'd bring that up. All right, let's do our song. We have Hey Day by Jared Rogerson coming up, and then Horse Nation is going to be here. Leslie will be here with some of her stories of the...
Put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. Well, I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody here, they sing along. Hey, hey, it's a heyday. Hey, hey. Yeah, I'm making my own payday. My boss is such a jerk, I swear he's never been outside. And I just been in yesterday, man, and I'm running out of time. Everything about this is all wrong. It's time to rip some trees before they're gone. Hey, hey.
30 tramps around the sun. I'm working on 31. I'm still throwing my whole life away. But it has to be done before it's gone. Hey, hey. Getting here is all so clear as I'm going down this road. I'll be there around 8 o'clock in time for my next show. My spot's near the ear where it belongs. Everybody's dancing and singing along. Hey, hey, it's a heyday. Hey, hey, yeah, I'm making my own payday. Hey, hey, yeah, I'm making my own payday.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson with Hey Day. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, and we are brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. I am Glenn DeGeek here with Jamie Jennings, and we are also joined by Coach Jen in the producer chair. We had an opportunity, Jamie, to go out and watch Wendy do her thing at a CDE, a combined driving event locally here, and I posted a video of her with her Frisian horse in the water obstacle, and what a beautiful day it was. It was actually cold in the morning. It was in the 30s and then got up to about the 60s, but it was a beautiful sunny day with all the shadows and everything, and the video came out well. I posted that on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning on Facebook. So if you want to take a look at that, do that. She did a great job all day. She had never taken this or hadn't taken this horse out in years, or had never taken him out, I guess, as a single into the marathon phase through the obstacles. And he didn't miss a beat. He was terrific. It's a Frisian cross.
Is it a Frisian cross? I didn't know what it was. You could kind of tell that there was a little bit of Frisian in it, but I wasn't sold on that.
Yeah, he is. Jennifer, I don't know if Jennifer knows. Is he pure Frisian or is he a cross? I thought he was a cross.
He's a crossbred.
Yeah, but he looks very Frisian-y and he's a sweet horse. And she had him out. He's the one that almost killed us when we did a parade a couple years ago in Kentucky. He almost killed us and several of the spectators in the parade. Soon after we met Wendy, she said, there's this horse parade in Georgetown, Kentucky. I don't know if you remember from when living in Lexington, but they have a horse parade every year in the fall. And it's all horses. But it goes through their fair section of all of the food stands and the rides and all that stuff. It goes right down that main street, right through all the fair section. And she had three. She wanted to do a unicorn hitch. So she had two in the back and one in the front pulling this large carriage. So this is soon after we met her. And it was her boyfriend who knew about driving horses, and Jennifer and I. And we get in, and the front horse, this horse that she took in this event this weekend, the Frisian, was in the front. And he was carrying on a little bit. Well, when we got to the section where we actually made the turn and got to where the people lined the streets, he started acting up. And then he started carrying on a little more the further we went. Well, if you know how parades go, they're start and stop. Well, stop was not something he was really interested in that day. So we were riding up on the people in front of us. And then he decided to start rearing in the front of this carriage. Well, little kids on the side of the street were screaming and running, and that just made it worse. So her boyfriend got out and tried to get up there with the horse, and everybody's freaking out. You can see the police are now getting concerned, and the spectators are getting concerned because this horse is going to just like cause major trouble. Well, there was a side street right there, but it was lined with people sitting there to get into the side street, and Wendy just yelled over, "Get out of the way!" And you should have seen those people scatter.
Oh, my God.
She took that horse, and let that lead horse, and he was her boyfriend was still in front, still holding on to the horse, and we got down into that side street. And then once he got going, the other two were fine. Once he got going, he was fine. He just did not like standing in the middle of all those people. And this is the same horse. She sent him off for training, and she actually sent him off for fox hunting training, for riding training for the last 2 years. And he has come back a completely different horse. He is just so different than when he tried to kill us that time. So.
Why? Like he got better?
Yes, he is just a completely different horse. I think riding and doing fox hunting really has improved his disposition. And I think she even admitted that too, Jennifer, right? I mean, she admitted that fox hunting did him the good.
Yeah, and he's just more settled. He used to have, you know, the whole world was a scary challenge for Dante for most of his life.
Yeah.
Well, his name is Dante.
First
in the horse. It's like the names, like horses that go with their names and horses that are opposite. He kind of went with his name there.
Yes, he did. But he was so much better. He did so well through this obstacle. He's so smooth and really didn't cause any trouble all day. So it was neat.
Well,
it was fun to watch. Good job, Wendy. Of course, you can hear Wendy on the Driving Radio Show at drivingradioshow.com. All right. Our guest is ready.
All right. Well, it's that time of the week where we get to talk to Leslie from horsenation.com. And Leslie is brought to you by High Visibility North America. High Visibility North America are the distributors for the UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrians, horses, and canines. Already the preferred choice in the UK of thousands of equestrians, numerous mounted police forces, and even the Queen's Household Cavalry, the range is now exclusively available in the US and Canada from High Visibility North America. The entire range is not only functional, that it will keep you safe, whether in the woods, during hunting season. Please, people, get dressed up while riding on the road or out on the trail. But it's also fashionable, meaning everybody from eventers to dressage and Western riders love it. The range has everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests suitable for year-round and has already appeared on riders such as Dan James, Road to the Horse Champion to 2012, and Kim Gentry, an FEI dressage rider at the Dressage of Devon. So you can go to highvisibilitysportswear.com or follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/equisafe. Leslie, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm super. I've had my coffee. I'm ready to go. Ready for anything.
Well, glad you are awake at 10 o'clock on a Monday morning. That's fantastic.
Good job.
So, what's been going on at Horse Nation?
Well, as usual, lots of ridiculousness. One of my favorite posts from last week was one that I wanted to talk to you guys about. It was a comic, actually, by an artist named Morgan Schmidt, who does a weekly comic for us called The Idea of Order. And this one went over just like wildfire with readers. It was a comic, I titled it, How to Keep Your Teen Out of Trouble. And I think this is something that I could really relate to. She has two pictures here. One is of what most parents are worried their teen is doing on Friday night. And it has a girl sort of, you know, starstruck sort of girl drinking, gazing up into her beefcake boyfriend's eyes, like, oh no. And then her second picture is how I remember spending my Friday nights, and it has a picture of her sort of grooming a horse, probably getting it ready for a horse show with her horse friends. And I definitely can relate to that, and I'm sure a lot of people can. I think I was probably the lamest, most tame and well-behaved teenager ever, because that was me. I was, you know, instead of being at the football game on Friday nights, I was at the barn, you know, getting my horse bathed and groomed, you know, braided for the horses the next day, and And, you know, can't stay out late when you've got to get up at 5 in the morning.
You know, later in life, Leslie, my dad said, actually, then and later in life, that he was like, because I still do it. Those damn horses. I shouldn't have had those horses. We shouldn't have done that. Da, 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 da. You know, and I realized that, like, Dad, you know, I had friends that were drunk, getting in car accidents on Friday night and misbehaving, and one ended up at a halfway house, and these people. But you know what? And these were my close friends I'd known since elementary school. And you know what I did on Friday nights was I had to go to bed early because I had to get up at 3 a.m. to go to the barn to load my horse to get to the horse show by 6 so you could get to the warm-up arena. You know, so this is what I did and what you did. And I really think, you know, I think it's so important. If your daughter has a passion for horses, by God, get her one. You know, do whatever you can to get her one because it kept me out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And this cartoon has been shared a billion times at this point.
I can't comment because I was the guy on the first.
Oh no!
You wish you were that
without the hunky part. Without the hunky part.
Well, it's all boys. So, and then you had something about, I thought maybe Glenn wrote it, but it's not. It's a horse husband question.
Yes, we've got a new series going written by Lauren Jackson. And basically, her husband has been asking her a lot of horse questions lately. He's become equine curious.
Equine
curious, yeah. And and every now and again, he will ask her something that she actually doesn't have the answer to, so which gives her a good excuse to do some research. And one question that he asked her last week was, is your horse colorblind? I think it was in the context of, why is your horse 13,000 times more frightened of a blue tarp than a gray tarp. And so she started looking into it and looking at studies and trying to get a handle on how horses see the world versus how we see the world. You know, what colors do they see? What colors don't they see? You know, and I think we've all here heard sort of variations on, you know, horses are colorblind, horses can see certain colors, you know, but not others. So what she found out was, and this is my favorite line of the piece, studies suggest that the world your horse sees might have a slightly apocalyptic mustard gas feel to it. Remember this and show tender mercy the next time your horse self-destructs over a grocery bag. they can see, and she has some pictures sort of illustrating what something would look like through our eyes versus how it looks through our horse's eyes. Horses can see blue, they can see green, they can see yellow. They have a harder time with red, which I did not realize. That red kind of comes out looking yellowy, kind of looking. And it just also seems like, yeah, they definitely live in a less vibrant world than we do. So that's fascinating.
There is no doubt in my mind that horses can see green, because when you're at a horse trial and you're walking your horse around the parking lot and there's two blades of grass that are sticking up out of the ground half mile away, my horse can spot it and run to it, dragging me on the hind end of that lead rope. So no doubt can they see green. Do you agree?
No doubt. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's funny, we have green and blue water buckets here, and the horses all prefer the green ones. They will drink the green water buckets before the blue water buckets, and it's almost every horse on the farm.
That's quite interesting.
Yep, it's weird. Even the outdoor buckets, we have the big automatic waterers, and there are green ones and there are blue ones, and they'll drink out of the green ones before they will the blue ones.
Yeah, it looks like blue is just like a really bright, vivid color for them, maybe more than anything else.
Okay, now I have to ask the question. I'm going to ask the other horse husband question, the doubter in the world. How do they know this? They crawl inside there, peek out. I mean, how do they know?
Well, Well, they did a test. She describes it here. I don't
brought him
really
to the eye doctor,
it.
Sat him down in the chair, and said, "Okay, here's the color chart."
Yeah, well, it involves treat, treat incentives, and they asked horses to identify various colors and rewarded them with treats. You know, horses, you can get anything out of horses with a treat. So, yeah. So I guess they
okay. I still don't know if I'm buying it. Totally, just saying. I mean, I don't believe they probably see colors in the way we do, but I'm not convinced that we actually know what they actually see. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, I'm going to get a friend on. I'm going to get a friend on because she is a veterinary ophthalmologist, and she has explained this to me, that they can, within the eye, the way that light refracts and all this crap I don't understand, she was able to tell me why horses see the colors that they see. So I'm gonna have to get her on, and we'll have to talk to her about it, because she can explain why. Okay. It's not just like, here's a treat. She actually like has a scientific, you know, way.
Yeah. That's what we need, somebody to break it down for
somebody
us.
That actually knows what they're talking about.
Yes. That's right.
I'll work on that.
Definitely.
And talk about, this is really cool, 9 pesky life lessons that you learn from horses.
Yeah, this was one that our weekend editor Carla Lake came up with, and I just thought was super cute. Obviously, I mean, that's a sort of a reoccurring topic on Horse Nation, is, you know, what are we taking away from our experiences with horses and applying to real life? And she had a few life lessons listed that I think are fairly applicable. Know what you want. Does spiraling in and out of circles make you happy, or would you rather race along the side of a cornfield? Sounds obvious, but if you don't pursue what you really love about riding, you won't get it. So true about riding and life, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, everything on here kind of parallels life. We just need you to explain it to us.
Yes, So I thought that this was definitely a fun column.
And what else did you learn? What else should we learn?
Okay. Oh, here's another. This one might have been my favorite one. Don't let someone take photos of you with a high-res camera.
Oh my God, this is so funny. Please, you got it. Who is that in the picture?
I don't know. maybe it's Carla. She doesn't have it photo credited, so it might be Carla herself.
Oh my gosh, it was so fantastic.
I love the breeches.
Man, I have so many.
I love the
so
breeches
bad
one.
Face pictures.
I love the breeches one too. Don't buy stuff online unless you know the exact brand and size you need. And I have a picture of a woman with very baggy breeches on the butt.
Baggy and too short.
And too short. That's
Those
right.
are two problems I rarely run into when it comes to breeches.
Yeah.
With my long legs. And slender behind. Nope. Not so much.
You know, only models in the catalogs look like that. That's the only models in the catalogs. They never actually sat on the horse. Yeah. You know what I like? I got to tell you this, and I'm going to give them a shout out right now. And actually, it comes to mind because they just invited us to come on Saturday morning. We're going to ADA. We're going to the American Equestrian Trade Association this weekend, and Carrots is always there, and Carrots does something unique. They actually do a fashion show where they have, in front of all the buyers from all the different stores, they have fashion shows all day long, and they actually have a runway, and they get up there and they model the latest Carrots fashions. But the difference is they have actual riders, and most of them, Jamie, are eventers, that they have real-life eventers who come in and model the clothes during ADA weekend. So that is the difference between a company that, you know, started with horse people and, you know, ones who are just corporate. That is a big difference.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Well, Leslie, before we let you go, I've got a piece of homework assignment for Horse Nation. Let me just be honest. My kid's been sick, and you know, I just had one of those days. I have a broken foot. Like, I just stayed in bed one entire day last week, and it just happened to be the day that Turner Classic Movies was playing horse movie after horse movie after horse movie. But we're not talking ones we've ever seen. Movies from like the 40s and 50s. It was the coolest thing. So one of the movies I know nothing about, and it's called, and this is, I need Horse Nation to review it. It's called Gypsy Colts. Okay, write this down. Gypsy Colts. And it was made in 1954. And I'm watching this, and it is about a whore. Like, the family is going to lose the farm because it hasn't rained, and the little girl has her horse, and the dad has to sell it and goes to sell it as a racehorse. But it's the kind of movie where the horse, like, comes to school every day and picks her up, and this little girl jumps on this horse and gallops down the road, and it is very clearly the little girl. It's bridleless and bitless, and it was some of the coolest, coolest tricks I've ever seen in a movie. And again, this was filmed in 1954. However, sadly, what they don't have back then is they didn't have any animal protection. And there's one scene that literally my stomach turned. And it's the horse, you know, again, this was in 1954, so I can just kind of tell you. But I just want to know what your movie reviewer thinks, because the horse decides it needs to go back to the little girl, and it's like a Lassie come home thing, and he's like running through the desert and runs out of water, and it literally looks like they sedated the horse and then laid it down and were filming it trying to get up by itself in the middle of the desert. Cause it's like dropping because it doesn't have any water. And it was these weird, it was so stomach turning, but the rest of the movie was so absolutely incredible. The tricks in this movie, Gypsy Colt 1954, I got to get Horse Nation's perspective. After you do that one, I've got two more Turner Classic Movies that I stayed in bed that day and watched. One called Pride of the Bluegrass, which was written probably in the 40s, and literally has the most racist undertones I've ever seen in a movie. To the point, at the end, Glenn, I got to send this to you, because it was a 15-minute thing on living in Lexington, Kentucky, and what life is like for kids and people in Lexington, Kentucky, and they had like houseboys, like bringing them mint juleps under the trees. Like, it was so racist. So racist. And then the last one is one I'm going to have to review because it was so fun. It was called The Story of Seabiscuit, and it's Shirley Temple with an Irish accent.
Oh. Yeah, that's got to be an old one.
That one?
Yeah. 1949.
Oh, you were looking it up? Yeah,
1949.
Shirley Temple in The Story of Seabiscuit, with possibly the worst Irish accent I've ever heard that literally comes and goes the entire movie. Sometimes she's American, sometimes she's Irish. It's hysterical. But your first homework assignment is Gypsy Colt. I swear, nobody's... If I had never even heard of it. Have you ever heard of it?
I've not heard of it.
Jennifer, have you ever heard of it? Nope. Definitely not. See? All these
You're the only person who's ever seen that movie, Jamie.
Yes.
The only person.
Probably. I think you're right. I am the only person. So that's your homework assignment, and then we'll get through the rest of these. And Glenn, I'm going to have to send you somehow the 15 minutes of living in Kentucky, take it like filmed in the 30s.
What was the name of that story again? Like, what was the name of that movie?
The movie's called Pride of the Bluegrass, and I'm going to have to review that one, too, because absolutely hysterical. The good one was Gypsy Colt, okay?
You didn't like Shirley Temple and the Seabiscuit? It didn't quite live up to the newer version of Seabiscuit?
Actually, to be honest with you, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Pride of the Bluegrass, can I just give you a brief plot synopsis on this, Leslie? Pride of the Bluegrass is about a rich girl and a farm boy that train a horse to run in Kentucky, to run in the Grand National, unbeknownst to her father that owns the horse. Oh, and by the way, the horse is blind. And they taught it to jump by going, go, go, here it comes, up, go, go, here it comes. How the freaking horse jumps every jump in the Grand National. So, okay, clearly we'll have to review that one too. But yeah. Start with Gypsy
Hey,
Cult,
maybe you
then...
guys, you know, you're making fun of that movie. Maybe that is the, maybe that would work. You should try it. We'll see Leslie going across Rolex, and she'll be going up, up, up.
Gallop, gallop, gallop.
Like a video game, you just press the inner button.
Yeah, just press the button. Just bring a controller along with you.
Yeah. It literally was like your remote control video game. Yeah, it's like gallop, gallop, gallop. Hit the A button, the B button for jump.
Yeah, I'm sure that would end well. Sure.
Yeah, it was great. That one was in black and white. So I'll give you homework assignments. You can start with Gypsy Cult.
Okay, okay.
Actually really good. And I cried at the end, by the way, just so you know. I got a little too wrapped up in Gypsy Cult.
Leslie, before we
okay,
let you
I'll
go,
check it out.
Do you wear an air vest, Leslie, when you ride now in cross country?
I don't, but I would if I had one.
Jamie, you wear one, right? Now, you wear one for everything now, right? Chad makes you wear one.
I pretty much wear one to just trot. Yeah.
Wendy started wearing one in carriage in the marathon because you can fall out of your carriage and it can be bad, especially if the carriage decides to run over you. So she started wearing one. I got to ask you, have you accidentally set it off yet, getting off the horse and forgetting to unhook the tether?
You know, sadly, Glenn, I actually dismounted and the things I dismounted while I was in warm up because I had to tighten my girth and Jet was freaking out and I dismounted and it didn't undo. I mean, it was like stretched to the limit. Thank God. I'm not a big horse. For some reason it didn't. And I was like, oh, no, don't move. Don't shh. I'm trying to get it out.
I think every eventer has done that, right? I mean, every eventer has accidentally gotten off, forgot. And especially, it's usually when your horse is freaking out. And what would help your horse more than a loud bang, you know? To
right.
And having the rider blow up like a balloon. Well, Wendy went off
right.
after marathon the other day. She's all excited because her horse did really well. And right before marathon, I said, you wear a vest. And she took a baler twine and tied it to the carriage and made a hook. And that's what she hooks it to because it's not really meant to be used for carriages. So it hooks to a tether, and then that hooks to the CO2 cartridge that goes off if you get too far away and it pulls. Well, I said before she left, I said, well, don't get off. Don't forget. And she said, I've never done that yet. Well, sure enough, we get back. And she's so excited. She hops up and is about ready to jump off. And I yelled, Wendy, your vest. And she stopped just as it was about to go. And I otherwise she would have set it off, and then we'll see how much her Frisian would have stood still for that. But I think now we even have drivers there.
Yeah, you'll hear it at a horse trial, and I'm not wrong here, Leslie. You'll hear people going unhook, unhook as they finish cross country, unhook.
Yep. Oh yeah,
because it would be so. I forget it every damn time. I'd be going through so many of those CO2 cartridges. I can see how easy that would be. You're so excited, your adrenaline's flowing, you hop off the horse and pop. I saw.
Yeah, but then you realize it costs like $35, so you learn pretty quick.
Now, have you done yours accidentally or on purpose just to test it? Other than the time we did it?
No, only when we did it. I prefer not to waste $35, Glenn.
Well, how do you know if it works? Put it on Chad. Have him try it.
I'm pretty sure it'll work. Point two doesn't just throw those things out willy-nilly.
No.
All right, Leslie, you need one of those. You're going to have your husband buy you one for your birthday.
I do.
Yeah. Every eventer should have one.
All right, that's it,
Leslie. Thanks for stopping by. It's horsenation.com, and we also thank the good people over at High Visibility North America for joining us. Thanks again, Leslie. Appreciate it.
Have a great week.
All right, see ya.
Thanks, Fred.
Bye.
Yeah, it was so funny because I was yelling at her and everybody was looking at me. They didn't have any idea what I was talking about. And she finally realized what I was talking about. And I couldn't think of the right word.
You were yelling unhook.
Unhook, man. Unhook. Because I couldn't think of vest.
Well, yep.
I couldn't come up with vest. Hey, I'm the only one that saw.
Wait, did you, Glenn, unhook my bra? What? I don't get it.
I'm sorry. I'm the only one that saw she was about to get blown up. So.
You're going to blow up. You're going to blow. Get down. That's terrible. She's going to blow. All right, Jennifer, you guys subscribe to Netflix, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, your job is to watch Gypsy Colt.
Is it on Netflix?
I didn't get that. What?
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I would imagine you should be able to find it. And you can see clips from it on tcm.com, which I posted the link on our Facebook page. And then we're going to have to get through these other two, because if I have to watch Pride of the Bluegrass, you guys need to watch it. And it's amazing. But the last 15 minutes where they talked about living in Kentucky, oh my gosh, I was like, no wonder we had a civil war. It's like it never happened. It was really bad.
I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. The next time I break my leg and I'm in a thing, I'll watch them.
You're going to watch it, whether you have a sick baby and a broken leg or not.
All right, I got a couple of announcements to make. Tomorrow we are going to be having our first visit from the good folks over at the CHA. They're going to be joining us once a month. That's the Certified Horsemanship Association. And we're going to be doing a training day here on Horses in the Morning. So you can look for that tomorrow morning live here. They have a couple of their trainers. They have over 7,000 trainers that are registered and have gone through the program there at the Certified Horsemanship Association. And they're going to be joining us here once a month on Horses in the Morning. It's going to be the third Tuesday of every month. And then Wednesday is going to be the last and final time to play the Wheel of Trivia. We're working on a new game that's going to be a lot of fun that I think everybody will enjoy. But Wednesday will be the last time for the Wheel of Trivia. So if you want to play, you have to give us a call on Wednesday morning. And that is what's going on in the next couple of days here on Horses in the Morning. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate you being here. Have a trip. Was there anything else, Jamie? That's all, right? Anything else?
I think we're good, man.
All
I
right.
Think we're good.
Go curl up on the couch for another round of terrific old horse movies by actors who can't act.
Yeah. With the come and go Irish
accent.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld.
See you, everybody.
Everybody have a great day.